have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music, KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host, KBKM. Hi, I'm Dr. Jerry Green. Welcome to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. We have an awesome show lined up for you tonight as the Bishop tackles kingdom issues and current events. But first, let's receive First Lady Sharon Richard with her faithful financial moments. Good evening, First Lady.
Good evening, Jerry. It's always so great to hear you. This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. We all make decisions on how we will manage our finances. It may not be a deliberate or conscious decision, but our behaviors certainly signal how we have decided to manage our finances. The decision we make is simply one of three choices. Number one, living above our means. Number two, living within our means. Or number three, living below our means. Living above our means is generally characterized with buying habits which are more haphazard or unplanned. The need to keep up with the latest fashions, technology, and automobile. Living above our means suggests that we have not made the commitment to operate within a budget. Ultimately, this choice will lead to stress. The happiness that you gain from your spending will be short-lived because of the increasing debt that will follow. You know how so many people feel after Christmas? They spend lots of money that they don't have, increasing their debt after Christmas. Depression develops as they deal with the bills that follow. Living within our means is certainly a better option and shows the Lord that we can manage the resources that He has already entrusted to us. You are able to fulfill your tithing commitment, avoid the stress that comes with significant debt, while hopefully saving towards long-term goals. The best option would be to live below our means, as this will ultimately position us for even greater blessings. We'll save for future goals, but we go beyond that to truly have excess cash flow. Living below our means requires us to sometimes forgo some of the items that we may want to purchase and actually can't afford. It means taking advantage of sales and coupons and discounts. It may mean taking less expensive vacations or lowering our entertainment budget. It could mean fixing items instead of replacing them. Living below our means increases our ability to serve the Lord as we have greater financial flexibility. Have you ever saw a need that someone had and wished that you could help? Have you ever wanted to do overseas missions but didn't because you did not have the funds to make the trip? Have you ever thought that you would love to leave an inheritance for your children? Whatever the decision you make about how you will manage your finances, remember that we are stewards over the finances that God has entrusted to us. And yes, God has provided the finances to help us take care of our basic needs. But we honor God when we manage our finances to achieve flexibility in our service to the Lord. Don't you want to better position yourself to be used by God to help meet the needs of others? Oh, what a glorious blessing that would be. This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. Up next, Nina Taylor with your Gospel News, followed by Open Mic with the Bishop and with your host, Bishop Ernest E. Richard, Jr. and Friends.
How you doing, everybody? I'm Nina Taylor with this week's Gospel News. Gospel singer James J.J. Harrison is the leader, chief songwriter, and director of the Youthful Praise Choir. Formed in 2001 out of Turner's Faith Temple of Bridgeport, Connecticut, they released their debut album, Awesome God, the same year on Evidence Gospel. A second album, Thank You for the Change, arrived in 2004, followed by Live, The Praise, The Worship in 2005. Television appearances on Late Night with Conan O'Brien and Bobby Jones Gospel increased the choir's visibility and fan base, as did its energetic live shows and urban affinities. Exalted, recorded live in Baltimore, Maryland, was released in 2007. It would be 5 years before the next album release. After this, arrived in the spring of 2012 with I See Victory, following 2 years later in 2014. In 2016, the single You Deserve It heralded the release of the next album by Harrison and Youthful Praise. The album, also called You Deserve It, appeared in March of 2017, which featured appearances by Miranda Willis, Travis Green, and Bishop Cortez Vaughn. Harrison returned in 2019 with the full-length album Miracle Worker. Gospel artist Samaje was born and raised in Detroit, Michigan. Samaje grew up in the church. He'd started singing in the youth choir and found his true passion as a singer. Vocally inspired by music legends such as James Moore, Karen Clark Sheard, Aretha Franklin, and many others, growing up, Samaje always had a strong desire to be a musician of some sort. It wasn't until he started noticing the impact on people from his gifts and his voice. He released the song Winner in November of 2017. The song was written by Gerald and Tammy Haddon and Tasha Page Lockhart. Stress and depression can ruin your holidays and hurt your health. Being realistic and planning ahead and seeking support can help ward off stress and depression. The holidays can present an array of demands like unwelcomed guests, cooking meals, shopping, baking, cleaning and entertaining, to name just a few. And COVID-19 is still spreading in some communities, which can add some additional stress. You may be worried about the health of you and your loved ones. But with practical tips, you can minimize the stress that accompanies the holidays. You may even end up enjoying the holidays more than you thought you would. Here's a few tips to help prevent holiday stress and depression. First, acknowledge your feelings. If someone close to you has recently passed, or you can't be with loved ones for other reasons, realize that it's normal to feel sadness and grief. It's okay to take time to cry or express your feelings. You can't force yourself to be happy just because it's the holiday season. Second, reach out. If you're feeling lonely or isolated, seek out community, religious, or other social events in your community. If you're feeling stressed during the holidays, it may also help to talk to a friend or a family member about your concerns. Try reaching out by text, call, or video chat. Volunteering your time to do something to help others is also a good way to lift your spirits and broaden your friendships. Be realistic. The holidays don't have to be perfect or just like they were last year. As families change and grow, traditions and rituals often change as well. Choose a few to hold on to and be open to creating new ones. Set aside differences. Try to accept family members and friends as they are. Stick to a budget. Before you do your gift or food shopping, decide how much money you can afford to spend. Give homemade gifts. Start a family gift exchange. Plan ahead. Set aside specific days for shopping, baking, and connecting with friends and other activities. Consider whether you can shop online for any of your items. Plan your menus, then make a list for your shopping. Learn to say no. Saying yes when you should say no can leave you feeling resentful and overwhelmed. Don't abandon healthy habits. Don't let the holidays become a free-for-all. Get plenty of sleep. Take control of the holidays. Don't let this time of year become something that you dread. Instead, take steps to prevent the stress and depression during the holidays. Here's this week's top 10 gospel songs. Number 10, You've Been Good to Me by Zacardi Cortez. 9, Not Ready by Naomi Rain. 8, Impossible by Pastor Mike Jr. 7, New by Ty Trivett. 6, God Did It Again by Brandon Anderson. 5, Your World, Jonathan McReynolds. 4, Call by Jordan Armstrong featuring Erica Campbell. 3, Lord I Hear You, Lucinda Moore. 2, Let Him In, Jokia. And our number one song for 3 weeks in a row, Kingdom by Maverick City Music and Kirk Franklin. Well, that's your top 10 songs and your gospel news. I'm Nina Taylor. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station. Hello, I'm Nina Taylor. Welcome to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. This show tackles kingdom issues and current events from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Bishop and Company for today's discussion. Good evening, Bishop.
Well, good evening to you, Nina Taylor, and to you, and also to you. This is Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company, and my co-host, I believe, I pray that she is here, but before I get to her, let me take a hot minute to say hello and welcome all the way from St. Louis, Missouri. We are here in actually Brentwood, which is inside the St. Louis area. It's one of their regions down here. We bless God as we get ready for the Elations Honors event, which will start kickoff tomorrow at about 6 p.m. And we do plan to do Facebook Live and possibly TikTok and some other media so that we can include you. So welcome, everybody. Bless God for each and every one of you taking the time to come in this evening. Before we even begin our show, I'm hoping and praying that my special guest is here. I met this young lady at the Hollaback Music Awards, and she had a book out that I found to be rather interesting for the portions and pieces that I was able to read. And I wanted her to take a few minutes to share with us, our story, or her story, I should say. So let me see if she's there. I want to welcome in new author, evangelist, Sophia Sower. Blessings to you, my dear sister. How are you today? Apparently she's not here. Well, all right then. I am going to turn around and see if I could find out who is here with me. Pastor Anna Henderson, are you here today?
Good evening. Yes, sir, I am. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. So glad to be on with you tonight, Bishop.
I'm so happy to have you here. God bless you. Now, I don't know who all is with us. First Lady Sharon, did you decide to stay or did you have to move on because of our 3-year-old great-grandson? Okay.
I'm here, sort of.
Okay. Well, partially. What we will try not to do is ask too much of you tonight. We're going to go ahead with our topic. I was expecting a guest on tonight, but apparently she's not available. So with that being said, I guess it's time for us to move on because we've got some things to do. Now, let me see who else is with us tonight. Would you please identify yourself, individual, if you're with us tonight? Because, I mean, we're finding that my guest isn't here, so I'm going to have to move on. I cannot stay in this one spot and wait because we're not going to be that long tonight, but we are going to be long enough tonight. How's that sound? Is there anyone else that's with us?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is G. Johnson. How is everyone tonight?
Praise the Lord. Hi, my dear sister. It's always an honor to have you in with us. Is there anyone else before we move forward? I don't want to miss anybody. I don't want to miss anybody. Okay, looks like we've got all we're probably going to get for the night. And, of course, last but by no means least, I know she's kind of remote, moving around last minute, trying to take care of business. Dr. Kimmy Robinson, I don't even know if you're even able to say a word at this present point in time, so we're not going to press you too much. But if you are able to say something, just come on and say hello to the listening audience. We always appreciate the work that you do. And I laid eyes on her for the second time in the last 12 months. And, of course, she looks healthy and happy, and we bless God for you. Nonetheless, we are going to move forward. Minister Sharon, I'm going to ask that you would please pray us in, and then I'm going to ask why am I forgetting words today or people's names? I can't be doing that. Pastor Henderson, after First Lady Sharon prays us in, I'm going to ask that you would read scripture for us, and we're going to continue our discussion on abuse, okay?
Father, it's in the precious name of Jesus we come before you this evening. Lord, we thank you for your grace, for your mercy, for your loving kindness that even got us to this point in this day, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that as we go into this discussion, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are in charge and control, Lord. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that someone out there that may need to hear something that will be said will be blessed, Lord. Their life will be changed. They will be encouraged, Lord. They will know that you love them, Lord, through whatever challenge they may be facing. Lord, we know that all forms of abuse is nothing but the act of the enemy. And so, Lord, we thank you right now that someone's going to understand, Lord, that they do not have to any longer stay victim to it, Lord, that they need to just rest in you, Lord, and just know that you reign in every way. So, Lord, we praise you today. We thank you, Lord, for the revelation that will come forth in this session, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the blessing, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all those that are participating in this in the discussion, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, that they're all going to be used to your glory in a mighty special way. So, Lord, we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Pastor Henderson, if you would, please.
Yes, our scripture reading will be found in Psalms 107 and verse 20. And I start with verse 19. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction.
Amen. Okay. Thank you both for your help and for all that you're doing. I know I'm moving around a bit more than I ordinarily would, but I'm trying to situate and settle myself so that I could get a good, I had a bad background, backdrop, I should say, there, and I had to change that because I'm actually literally in a hotel room, y'all, and I ain't afraid to say that. Some folks don't want to tell the truth and shame the devil. I ain't got time for the devil, not in that respect. So with that being said, I'm here, but now I've got it all together now. Hey! Bless your heart. Thank you all for coming in. Those of you who are watching today, we're going to continue our discussion on abuse. We began talking about physical abuse and the impact of abuse, and that is actually the title of our session today, the impact of abuse. Many of you are aware of the very fact that abuse comes in all forms, all shapes, all sizes. Abuse has a lot of, takes on a lot of different characteristics. And when you talk about these kinds of things, you have to sort of kind of be careful. I named for some of you about 8 different types of abuse. We talked about physical. We talked about where people would just deliberately and willfully begin hitting and abusing people in a physical sense, using their hands, their fists, belts, chairs, whatever they can get their hands on, where they would physically shove people, would grab people as if they wanted to shake them until they broke their neck, or slapping somebody, kicking somebody, pinching somebody, pulling somebody's hair, scratching individuals, and restraining people from moving forward or moving out of harm's way. Some cases, choking people, smothering and posturing people, meaning you stand over here and don't you move until I tell you to. This is all indications of physical abuse. They intimidate people because of their size, because of their strength, and the attitude that they have and how bad it is when they come across other individuals and try to make other people feel bad at what it is that they're doing. They try to make somebody move or not move against their will. And then just last week we started covering verbal abuse, where we found out that individuals from their mouth would put other people down. They would call people names and they would swear at individuals and, you know, call them female dogs and bastards and all these kinds of things. They'd make idle threats toward people. They would make abusive jokes toward these individuals. They'd give some people the silent treatment, or they would continually arguing for no reason whatsoever. They would belittle other individuals. They would turn around and dominate and literally control conversations. In other words, every time you got ready to say something that was quote unquote positive or negative, they would turn around and they would try to take over the conversation so that you were drowned out or could not be heard. And, you know, they would turn around and they would counter individuals and what they say. it's a narcissistic move that some of them would put out there, and they would begin discounting and criticizing and begin blaming. And, you know, the whole problem with that entire process is the very fact that somewhere, somehow, these individuals who go through these things, they deal with it, and they deal with it, and only one of several things will happen. To the individuals that would deal with those physical abuse or even verbal abuse, you get to the place and point where you feel like you just can't take it anymore, and either you will seek help to get out of it or you will retaliate against it. The whole bottom line is this: when you're dealing with abuse, and I want to talk about types because, as I said last week and the week before, we dealt with the month of October with breast cancer awareness, and it was very important, extremely important. We, even our dear Dr. Kimmy Robinson, is a breast cancer survivor, and we're just so appreciative of all that God has done in and with through and through her. But at the same time, we've also dealt with Pastoral Appreciation Month, where pastors and those in the fivefold ministry were being appreciated. But now we didn't get too much of an opportunity to deal with domestic violence, so I chose to use as much of the month of November as I could to deal with domestic violence, because it's another issue that becomes extremely important in the lives of the believer. The problem here is we don't talk enough about this, and sometimes we let some things slide under the rug, and you don't let things like that slide because people's lives are at stake here. People have gone to jail because they were pushed to their breaking point, and suddenly they found themselves with a hammer, with a gun, with a knife, or some type of object, and they find themselves suddenly attacking viciously the individual that's been abusing them. And so really, this is what we're kind of dealing with in this day and age and in this particular time. And I'm going to give both First Lady Richard and then Pastor Henderson the opportunity to express their views on abuse. We've already talked about two, but you're not limited to anyone. Anyone that you want to talk about tonight, let's talk about it. So First Lady Richard, your objective.
Well, I do agree that abuse comes in all forms, and I think sometimes we underestimate verbal abuse, and I know you talked about some of that last month. But verbal abuse to me can be so damaging because a lot of times the person really doesn't realize they're being abused. And so it kind of hits them very subtly and over time. So, and to make matters worse, people tend to not bring much attention to it. So people tend to think less of it, because the physical abuse is more obvious to most people. So the verbal, because it's not as obvious. And quite honestly, a lot of time I think when people are verbal abusers, oftentimes, you know, they have a different personality in front of other people. So then that makes it even more so harder for a person that's in that sort of situation to even recognize that it's happening, because they don't even have their loved ones around them, don't have a way to see it or realize that it's happening either. So that is one that to me is a pretty scary one. And I know many people that have been victim to it, and it took a long time for them to realize that it was even happening to them. So that is one that is to me very strong. Even though all of it is horrible. And so I just, you know, pray that anyone who that may be out there that may be going through that, that always remember that your feelings are real, and so you should pay attention to it. So if you're in a situation where you feel as though you're being belittled in any way or somehow another suppressed, And it's a psychological thing. It's not like someone saying, oh, you got to stay indoors. But it's a psychological thing where you feel like, why do I feel like I'm being suppressed in some way? Then you should ask yourself some questions. You should go into prayer. You should talk to the Lord about it to see, am I imagining it? So that's what's on my heart right now.
About, because there are some of us who are literally imagining, or people think that they're making this, trying to hunt stars. But let me hear Pastor Henderson and Dr. Kimmy Robinson, if you are available, we would love to hear from you as well. We know that you were a victim of verbal abuse at one point in time. So we really want to get everybody, and I do mean everybody, in this if we can. It would just be such an honor. Doctor, I got you, made you a doctor already, Pastor Henderson. Pastor Henderson?
almost.
Listen, hang out with me and you're going to be graduating every 5 minutes.
Amen. This is such a great topic, and I think it's so relevant, and so many times it gets overlooked in conversational pieces, even within the church, because a lot of times it does go ignored or swept under the rug or just not identifiable to others because it's well hid. And abuse doesn't have a gender on it. It's not just the man being the male being the abuser. But a lot of times you may see it in reverse. Sometimes it may be the female that's the abuser. And I think sometimes it's even harder to identify that or even to make confession of that when the roles are reversed. But either way, it is still not acceptable in the sight of God. Any type of oppression is not God's will, and it's not His will that anyone suffer through it. And I think that I think that the discussion should be talked more about it, the verbal, as you said, and the violent domestic. And I think sometimes even within our culture, sometimes we are not able really to identify it, because in some cultures it's just natural to be verbally abusive. To use curse words, to yell, to scream, to get your point across. Sometimes it becomes such a verbatim of conversation that the other person really doesn't even realize that it is abuse until way later, and they start having the side effects of it, and they'd be like, oh, wow, they start having all these emotions and all these different things in their life because they had lived through this pattern of verbal abuse all their life, and they don't even know that it was happening, you know, the way that it was happening. So I think it's so good that we're talking about this tonight.
Well, and I want to talk about it because, I mean, there are, and I there are so many other avenues that we need to tackle. But, you know, let's look at it from this perspective. All right, you may know somebody that's going through this. G. Johnson, I know you're there, so let me get your insight before we move forward. I didn't want to forget you.
Oh, okay. I appreciate that. I can't speak much on verbal abuse in as far as my marriage, but as I was saying last week in reference to verbal abuse at the workplace, you know, I guess whether it's from whoever or whatever, it can affect you, and it can get to you to the point to be stressed. And as the first lady was saying, you know, you go to God and you pray on the situation and to help you get through the situation. I mean, like I know when I have to, you know, before I go to work, I try to be prayed up because it just seems like. I don't know, and people say, well, you're in the South, you know, but, I mean, abuse is anywhere, you know, it could be the North, it could be the West or whatever, but you have to think about how you're going to speak on it, you know, that won't get you, you know, that won't get you in trouble, I should say, especially when you're getting abuse from your, you know, from your authority or, you know, people that, our supervisors and things of that nature. So, you know, you ask yourself, how do you handle it? And again, I try to go in, I try to be prayed up. One of the things I used to do is put on a spiritual song. Then they got me on that too. I was like, oh, you can't, you know,
right.
You can't play gospel or whatever. But anyway, I still go in and find some kind of way to, you know, to help me cope with the situation that I see, you know, at hand. And that's it.
Mm. Well, let me say this, and I appreciate the three of you. I'm trying to reach out to one of our loved ones to take a moment, because there is another area of abuse that I really want to tackle tonight. We talked about the physical aspects. We talked about the verbal aspects. We've brought all that up, and we've mentioned some of the things. I want to look at the attitude or the psychological side to abuse. And what I mean by the psychological side to abuse, I'm really looking for someone to talk about it, because I know we know, First Lady and I know a couple of people that have had to deal with something called narcissism. And when you talk about narcissism, you are talking about the psychological aspects of abuse. And really, I want to get into this, if I can, as much as we can for tonight, at least for the next hour or next 20 minutes or so. And if I can't get the guest that I'm looking for, maybe I can get her to show up, not next week, because next week we will have a pre-recorded show that's going to be aired for you. And, but the following week, we will be back again live. And as a matter of fact, next Thursday is Thanksgiving. And we won't be on Thanksgiving Day, but there will be a pre-recorded show, and we want all of you to come and to be part of that show. But let's deal with what are some of the symptoms of psychological abuse. And when I say psychological, picture, if you know anything about a narcissist, and most of us know what a narcissist is, and believe it or not, that can be Christian or non-Christian. And I'm going to hit with another angle after we kind of pull this thing out. So really, let's talk about the narcissistic approach when you're talking about abuse. Can anybody want to start off? What do you know about narcissism? I don't need to know names. I don't want to know names. I want to pull out if you know about narcissistic people, come on and talk to me about it.
You don't want to know no names. what I know about narcissists.
Act the guilty. Go ahead. Go ahead. Why you laugh?
What I know about narcissism is that these people, it's sort of kind of like the world, and if I could put it, it's the world revolves around them. They're always right. No, everybody else is wrong. They're very, manipulative. I guess that's the best thing that I could say about them. But the world revolves around them, and it's all about them, and what you could do for them, and if you're not on their, if you're not in agreement with whatever they say or do, then, you know, you're the enemy. So that's what I can speak on that.
All right. Anybody else? Anybody?
They tend to think, I think they fantasize a lot. And, all things wonderful for them. So success and how intelligent they are and how all these wonderful things are going to be just drawn to them because they're so great. it's very so sort of like my sister just said, and, you know, it's all about them. So their fantasy, they have this sort of fantasy world kind of going on with all of that.
Well, I'm going to tell you honestly, Anderson, anything? Pastor Anderson, did we lose you? Okay, Pastor Henderson must have either, her phone either went out or whatever the case may be. But, yeah, you're absolutely right in what you're saying. I know people who are narcissistic, I hope I said the word right, psychologically abusive, usually want to play mind games. They want to make you, and I got a saying that I used to say, and I don't say it that often anymore, because when I first discovered that I knew a few narcissists, I realized I was encouraging them and not helping them. But they basically want to play games. And like I said, I used to say something like this: I'm all right. It's the rest of the world that needs help. And that is the mindset of a narcissist. They think, okay. And in their mind, the rest of the world is in disarray. The rest of the world is confused. The rest of the world is lost. They are perfect working order in their stratosphere. You know what I'm saying? One of the other things I find is something that I like to call mental coercion, meaning they want to impress upon you their process of thinking, and they want you to agree with their process of thinking. You know what comes to my mind?
Yes.
Some of you have seen the movie Madea's Family Reunion. I don't know if you have seen it. And I know, are you off mute yet, Pastor Henderson? Are you back? Jimmy, can you unmute Pastor Henderson? I think she's muted. I saw a message from her that she seems to be muted. So basically, well, we'll wait for her to come back because I know she's trying to say something. But I know she's talking. I know what that feels like. Anyway, the bottom line is, if you remember Madea's movie, Madea's Family Reunion, when Carlos and I can't think of the young lady's name, in what her stage name was in the movie, and her mother sets this thing up to where this banker is going to marry her daughter because the mother's been dipping the girl's trust fund for a number of years and living her life off of her daughter's inheritance. And so now it's time for her to marry, and she's going to marry this banker, and he's going to manipulate the books and things so that, you know, she does get her inheritance, and it's going to look like she's got some money when the truth of the matter is the mother has spent a good portion of the money. But the problem here is the banker, Carlos, was exceptionally abusive, very possessive, the kind of individual that got jealous over the stupidest, most minute things. And if you watched that movie, you saw instances where she, there was one scene where they were at a table with a couple of friends and they were talking, and then she yawned. And he reached under the table and pinched the daylights out of her. What kind of nonsense is that? This is another occasion. And if y'all remember the birthday scene when the sister and her friend brought the male stripper to the house, he probably knocked her in the middle of next week. Into the middle of next week. But these are some of the movements of a narcissist. They'll use things like looks or actions to generate a level of fear, try to make people feel, you know, try to make people feel inferior to them. And if they have a level of dominance over you, they will continue to muscle you and continue to abuse you. They will continue to, you know, push you around in this particular one of the other things I notice about somebody that has that delves in psychological abuse: conditional affection. When you do everything they ask you to do, they call themselves rewarding you by letting you lay on their chest, or I don't want to get too vulgar, I don't want to get too beside myself, neither do I want to bring some things up that can go without being said, but they will allow you to play with their body parts. Can I say it like that to keep it polite?
Yeah.
You know, they'll give you some. You know, they never have a moment. Yeah, I agree with you, Pastor Tazewell, and thank you for moderating for me on TikTok. But, yeah, they have, you know, they never have a moment of humble acts. Humble acts is not anything they do, they feel like they should be rewarded for. Anything they say, they should be applauded for. This is their mindset. This is what they do. And this is how they act and or react to everyday stuff. Anybody got anything to say about that before we move on?
Can I interject real quick? Did you see the movie Sparkle?
Yes, I did.
Okay, the gentleman who was dating the, let me see, Irene, no, not Irene Cara, but the older daughter that was the lead singer. And the gentleman, I remember the scene where he said he had bought her a coat or something, and he said, "You didn't thank me for the coat." And she said, "Yeah, I did thank you in every way that I knew how." And then he just, you know, I guess it wasn't enough for him that she thanked him. So, you know, he just, I guess he beat her, you know. So, you know, a person like that who is they're not, you know, you can't do enough to tell them your appreciation or what have you.
Now, I'm going to say something. I have Nina Taylor. Nina, I wish you would come on 646-564-9842 because I'd like for you to tell that story. But she says that her ex used to say to her that all women wanted him and all men wanted to be like him. And that is another mindset of a narcissistic individual who uses psychological abuse. They tend to... They think they're more than they actually are. I'm going to be careful to say this, but I'm going to say it because we have an individual that we're familiar with, and I used to laugh. I have to be careful how I say it. So I'm going to dress it up just a little bit, not to protect the innocent, but to sort of kind of keep from any controversy. Not that I'm afraid of controversy. I am not. I want to make sure you know that. But I'm doing my very best to try to be respectful. And the individual used to, when he got into a discussion where he wanted to be dominant, he would turn around and say, "I know X amount of women," as if he's saying these women want him. And I'm kind of trying to figure out what gave him this impression that he was all that. I'm sorry. I just kind of put it out there. You know, what gave him this impression that he was all that? You know, and then, I'm sorry, men and women, they're out there. They think, go ahead. Come on.
No, I'm disagreeing with you.
Well, and I mean, First Lady Sharon, and I know you know, you may know a few more than I do, you may know a few less than I do, but in your experiences with these individuals, what have you learned from them?
I mean, I think for me, I don't know that I've learned a lot from them other than to kind of have an eye and an ear towards some of the signs and the behaviors so that I can steer clear.
I wish I could get Taylor to come on this telephone because she's bringing up some very good points. Let me share something she wrote. If they see you enjoying yourself or peaceful, they get mad at you because they can't, be peaceful or they can't be joyful. And that is truth. The truth of them is, you know, the truth of them not truly being all that, you're right. And they'll make you feel like it's your fault that they feel the way they do. I mean, I know a few, and I met a couple. In my earlier days of pastoring, I had a couple. They weren't part of the church, but they would come and visit the church. And, you know, they do well during the week, show up for Bible study, you know, be in Sunday service. But every now and then they'd have these fallouts. to where he would start beating on her. And I'm just, you know, well, come on, Apostle Isaac, 646-564. As soon as you come on, just come right up on, come right to the podcast, 646-564-9842. I'm getting different ones on TikTok, y'all, and I'm just going to invite them to come and to be part, you know. And also, as a matter of fact, the person I'm looking for, Sister Courtney, are you there?
I'm here.
Bless you. We're talking about the psychological abuser or the narcissist, and we just kind of want to get your insight to it. So let me give you a chance to talk about it, okay?
Okay. Where do you want to start, about what I experienced or what I went through? Or?
No, I'm going to – wherever you feel like you want to start, go there. Because this is a topic. This is the topic for tonight, and we're going to stretch on it. Maybe we might go into not next week, but the week following. And we can get the pre-recorded session on it, but I want to make sure everybody has a good Thanksgiving. So I might let this go for one Thursday and come back to it on the last Thursday of the month. But let's talk about it because, you know, I know personally you've seen some things and you've been through some things yourself personally without putting your business out there or anything like that. But just from what you have, what has been your observation of the psychological abuser or the narcissist, as I like to say?
Well, there's different types. What I learned from my experience is that there's 8 different types of abuse. And after going through it, I've always considered myself a very strong and independent person, someone who's very strong in my walk with God. So I didn't really see myself as a victim. So I didn't really get until after our domestic violence incident and having to go through therapy for it and what have you, that there was an actual type of abuse, and it was 8 different types of abuse. And I had examples for all 8. With dealing with a narcissist specifically, there's different types of narcissists, and one of the ones that I don't think is talked about enough is you have a covert narcissist. And when you go through any type of narcissist you deal with, if whatever type of relationship you're in, it's very difficult to leave, because what they do is they will build you up. You know, if you are in a place where you know, maybe you're the strong person and you're doing really well in life and whatever, and maybe you just need a little help with this or you need a little help with that, they're going to be your everything. For them, they're going to make you feel like the sun, moon, and stars are set on you. You are it, and everything's going to be great. You know, but they're also rushing you along. Everything's got to be, like, at lightning speed. Everything happens very, very quickly, you know, way faster than it should. So whenever you feel like, I would say that's one of my first signs, now that I understand what I went through, one of the first signs is when somebody's rushing you along and saying things that are a little bit earlier or kind of, like, wanting you to be in the same speed that they are, take your time. And that's a good – that's a stopping point. That's a red flag. Another thing is that once you get involved and they feel like they've got you, and that could be in a long-term committed relationship, or maybe you've had a child with them, or if you've gotten married and what have you, they slowly start to devalue you. It'll be a misplaced joke. It'll be something that's said, and it's really hurtful, but they start telling you, oh, you're just sensitive. So when it starts like that, they literally slowly start to chip away at your self-esteem. And even though you can be the most independent, those are some of the beginning signs. And then it just kind of goes down from there. The gaslighting starts. And, yeah, it's a never-ending cycle until it gets to a point where you as a victim, and this is male and female, either in however you see yourself, anyone can be a victim of this. But one of the things that you get to a point where you don't even trust your own judgment. And the sad part about it is that those around us don't realize what's going on because we may not have vocalized it. Because they know us to be such strong and independent people, they don't think we need help. And because we may never have been in this position, we don't know how to ask for help. And unfortunately, especially when you come to the church, you kind of get guided in the wrong direction if people don't know what to look for.
Wow. And see, I'm glad that you, I thank you for coming on and for sharing with us, because honestly speaking, there are a lot of people who, and they're in denial. Let's just say it like it is. Mm-hmm. They are in denial when it comes down to these types of things, and they tend to think that everything is all right. They'll give you the impression that nothing is wrong and that they're not dealing with anything. But, you know, realistically speaking, as you make mention of the things that you make mention of, and you there's a grocery list of stuff. The main, so would you mm-hmm. say manipulation, buying would fit their description? And things that they would do or things they would say?
Lying, all of that. It's all a part of it. It goes into the gaslighting. It goes into the building, destroying your self-esteem. You literally get to the point, I won't say that it's necessarily denial about where you're at. It's the point of when you realize, you know there's a problem. You know that this isn't the way it should be. But by this point, somebody has broken down your self-esteem so bad that you feel like you deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know how to change things. You don't know, even though it's simple, even though you've been able to, you've seen this on Lifetime, you've seen this played out in different ways and what have you, you get broken down to a point where you almost don't feel like you, like, well, no, I don't need help. Perfect example. I don't need help. He's not hitting me. You know, I don't have any bruises. I you know, they say some things and I ignore it. For me personally, it came down to, you know, I am not that type of person. Like, I wasn't like, well, you're not going to hit on me. You're not going to do this. And if you say something inappropriate to me, I said things back. But I let a lot of things go that I shouldn't have. And I didn't realize that was all part of the abuse.
Wow. Now, let me hold you up for a minute, Sister Courtney. Mm-hmm. I have the line, and you hear her every time this show comes on. She does our gospel news and our gospel countdown, and she's given me the privilege and pleasure of being a co-host with her on the internationally syndicated podcast, better known as The Gospel Express. My brothers, my sisters, ladies and gentlemen, Ms. Nina Taylor. How are you, my dear sister? Mm-hmm.
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Well,
as you already know, I didn't know at the time what a narcissist was. I was super, super young, and it kind of, it didn't start like that. Just like the young lady was just saying, when we first started, everything was beautiful. Everybody thought we were the perfect couple. But as years mm-hmm. went on, it just, things start to get crazy. The it started off with the mental and the emotional abuse, which I let go on for quite some time. You know, he knew that one of my fears was to ever end up, you know, in a bad situation, you know, maybe back living someplace I didn't want to live, or, you know, losing our home. You know, that was like a huge thing with me, was I was so happy about, you know, the things that we were able to accomplish at such a young age. So he used that against me. Oh, if it wasn't for me, you know, you'd be living in the ghetto. You'd have five kids. You'd be on welfare. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what? You know, you know, started saying mm-hmm. things like that. I'm like, where'd this come from? You know, he met me when I was 16 years old. Well, if it was for me, you'd end up like this person. You end up like that. If you hadn't never met me, you'd be doing this. You'd be living here. And, you know, that kind of like, wow, you know, would that have happened to me? You know, I'm like, wait a minute. I was a straight-A student pretty much all my life. You know, I went to college on an academic scholarship. What is he talking about? I would have ended up doing this. I would have ended up doing that. Now, I was a broadcast major mm-hmm. in college, and he knew that. He spent time with me at the radio station, but when we got married, it was like, well, I don't want you on the radio. It's not a real job. Wow.
You know?
Yep. Yep.
Just crazy stuff like
the
that.
Devaluing.
Now, keep in mind, I always had another job. I've been working two jobs my entire life. I would do, I would work a regular job during the day, and I would go to the radio station at night. I spent most of my beginning years working nights, you know, either evenings or either all night just so I could do it, you know, stay active in it. And it caused a lot of problems, you know. Whenever I had an mm-hmm. event or something, or whenever I had to go do a concert, it was always bad. You know, I'd get home and he would say, oh, well, you look stupid, or you look fat on stage, or you know, you were messing up, and this person and all those girls were prettier than you, or whatever. It was just whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like, why are you saying
anything
all this?
Mm-hmm.
And this is what what I'd have to put up with, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh, I'm going to interview Muhammad Ali tomorrow. Oh, well, so what? You sound stupid. You did this, you did that. You know, it was just always this huge critique of everything that I was doing, saying, wearing, dressing, anything. Mm-hmm. He didn't like my hair. He didn't like anything. And then, like I said, the mental and emotional abuse went on for years. And then one day, the physical abuse started. And believe me when I tell you, it happened once. Because I promised myself years ago there was nobody ever going to put their hands on me. And it happened once, and I was done. 6 months later, he was single. You know, and it, it's like, no way you're ever going to put your hands on me. And usually, I'm telling you, if you stay with someone who is mentally and emotionally abusing you, it just gets worse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and after a while, you know, maybe you're having only one good day out of a week. And then maybe you're saying, gee, I just want to have some peace for maybe 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look, it was even a problem for me to even go. I couldn't even go to church. I couldn't go to church.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't go anywhere. I couldn't wear anything. He said, well, you look, you know, I couldn't wear anything. I couldn't dress up. I couldn't get my hair done. I mean, this is what, you know, over the years, period, it was like I was just this sweatsuit wearing, walking around zombie, you know. And then one day somebody decides to put their hands on you, and that snapped me out of all of that real quick. Like I said, this is not going to happen, you know. It's like everybody said, oh, he only, and, you know, people were saying to me, oh, he just hit you once and you're getting a divorce. You know, they just thought that I woke up one day, we had a fight, and he hit me, and I was done. You know, like I said, this went on for years and years. The emotional abuse went on almost from the beginning of the marriage. We're talking 10 years. Went on for a long, long time. And, you know, I don't know why I put up with it, but it just got to the point where, you know, you're miserable, and you don't even know what's happening. You know, what did I do? You know, at first you try to figure out,
it's like,
did you do to make someone turn on you like this? And then he did. He used to tell me that all women wanted him and all men wanted to be him.
Mm-hmm.
He said that all the time.
Yes.
Oh, he just wants to be me.
let's say this, and I know Pastor Tazwell, she's handling our TikTok thing. She says she realized that we're focusing on men, but she spent over 20 years, and I think she's trying to finish out that she had to deal with women who had the same problem. And we're not just focusing on only. We hear a lot of stories about men, but there are some women out there who, and I've got to say this honestly, and my wife right now is on the line. This beautiful woman doesn't realize how she's rescued me. And she thinks that she's done nothing. And it's not that she came and rescued me. It's God brought her into my life at the right time. Because I dealt with somebody that was verbally abusive. You know how you people talk slick out of their mouth all of a sudden? just say slick stuff. You know, they get around their family members and their friends and, you know, their little clique club and their clan and, you know, they staring at you and side-eyed in you and running you into the ground with them. Other people start joining them. I heard something just the other day, and I had to laugh at it because the individual said, well, I'm going to tell you who it was. It was my former spouse who made the comment. And I guess she figured the comment would never get back to me. And I had to laugh at it because that only told me that, well, she thinks she's moving on in the Lord. She's still stuck in that region and in that area. You know, and I mean, I feel bad for a person like that. When in your mind you think you've established some level of superiority over another individual, that individual is way out in Hawaii and you still standing in Maine. What's wrong with that picture?
Wow.
You know? But I so bless God for the woman that he's blessed me with, because I know what it feels like to be genuinely loved and appreciated, not because of what I can do, but simply because of who I am. Ladies, we are out of time. I really hope that you can join me, and we're going to do a pre-recorded session on our prayer line. That number is 701-801-9814. We're going to do that this coming Monday. And if you all are available around 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I would love to have all of you come back and let's just pre-record this, and we're going to try. I don't even know if I want to put it out there. I'd rather do something different for Thanksgiving. So let's just do this. Not this coming Thursday, Thanksgiving, but the following Thursday. Can we all come back here and continue this discussion? I so appreciate everyone. You and what you brought to the table, and I want to hear more about what's going on, because every last one of us has been through something where somebody has tried to dominate our spirit, our mind, and in some cases our body, trying to make us believe that they were something that they simply were not. We're going to finish up the psychological or the narcissistic abuser, and then I want to get to, oh Lord, I'm going to get to, I may either go sexual, financial, or spiritual, and I think I might want to go spiritual, because there are some controlling pastors out there, and I want to talk about them. There are controlling pastors out there.
Oh, boy. I got to
stay
on that one.
I want to finish psychological, but if we start talking about spiritually abusive leaders, they turn around and say things like, you need to give up your free time for Jesus' sake, and shame on you if you don't agree with me. That's abuse. That is abuse. And I'm just taking this one little thing, and I'm going to shut up behind this because I can get started. We can be here for the next 10 hours. God, we have our personal time. We have our corporate time. And in corporate time, we share together in prayer. But in personal time, that's just me and God. And you're going to sit there and try to guilt me into doing something that you want to do because you want to do it. Pastor, I don't know who you are, and I don't know if prophet, apostle and prophet Isaac were able to join us today, but we want to talk about that. I don't know, are you in here, apostle Isaac, prophet Isaac? They didn't make the, and I'm hoping they make it, not this coming Thursday, but the following Thursday, because, I mean, you know, and there are going to be other pastors that are going to be in here with us. I want to talk about these things. When you start talking about spiritual leaders, some of them are narcissistic. I said the word right there. Y'all hear that? Let me try that.
Hallelujah.
But I want to thank you coming in. Sister G. Johnson, I want to thank you, Sister Courtney. I want to thank you, Sister Nina Taylor. Of course, I want to thank my wonderful wife, Lady Sharon Richard. And last but by no means least, I'm going to give her the final say and the benediction. I want to say thank you to my co-host, Pastor Anna Henderson. Pastor Henderson, anything you want to add, say, or conclude before we bring this to an end?
Can I say one thing?
Yeah, hold on 1 minute, Pastor Henderson. Go ahead.
If to those who are listening and however you're listening, if any part of this conversation resonates with you, if it makes sense in any way, shape, or form, get help.
Please.
You deserve it. You need it. Get help. And if you tell the first person and they're not hearing you, they're not understanding, talk to the next person because somebody will. You're not making it up in your head. It's not false. It's not all made up. You need help.
Let's take them one step further, Sister Courtney. Let's take them one step further. if you don't have anybody to reach out to, please reach out to us at pwrtostand.org or pwrtostand.com. Leave us an email and a possible phone number, and we'll help you find help. It's important. You are too valuable to God to be under somebody's thumb, to be treated like a rug, to be treated like carpet, like linoleum floor. You are not the bottom of somebody's shoe. Okay?
Yes,
you are the bottom of somebody's shoe. I know I got folks that want to come in, and I'm going to try my best. My dear sister, I'm going to have to hold for a minute because we're going to stop this, and then I'm going to go to now, what is your name? We got somebody, believe it or not, on TikTok. Let me see if I can talk to her. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. How are you doing, sir?
I'm wonderful. Can anybody else? Can you guys hear me on the telephone?
Yes.
Can you hear her?
Yes.
Okay, what's your name? What's your name, by the way?
My name is Holly. What's up?
Holly, how you doing? You're actually on an actual radio podcast right now. It's called Open Mic with the Bishop. We're talking about abuse. Is there anything you want to add to this conversation before we bring it to an end? We got just a couple of minutes.
Just that you know everybody's awesome, loved, and special on someone.
All right now. Well, listen, we appreciate you. Can you join us in 2 weeks and come back, possibly on TikTok? I didn't even think about doing this, but now that we done did this.
Yeah, TikTok, I just followed you.
All right. We will start doing that. Make sure you follow me, and I'm going to follow you back. The Lord bless you. We got to end this show. Pastor Henderson, sis, I'm going to have to let you go for now because we do have to get ready to go out of here. I'm following you back right now. I just followed you back, and we are good. And we will get a chance to talk with you at some other point, okay?
Okay, much love. Enjoy your night.
The Lord
bless
you. Thank you for coming in.
Yep.
All right. Pastor Henderson, any final words?
Amen. This has truly been a blessed time of fellowship. Amen. I think the topic is very relevant, and I just want to ditto what has already been said, is that God loves us and that we are to value ourselves because God values us, and we should never let anyone take away the value that God has placed on our lives. And what has already been said is that if you feel like you're not being valued and that you're not being cared for and you're being abused, please seek help. Amen, because you deserve it. God loves you, and you're valued by God, and you deserve to know that.
Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. Until next week, Dr. Kimmy Robinson, get the song ready because we are ready to launch out of here. You know what I always say? We will have a special recorded podcast for next Thursday. And since we won't be able to talk to you next Thursday, we want to say ahead of time to many of you who are listening, happy Thanksgiving. Go out and bless somebody. Make somebody happy. Make somebody smile. Buy somebody a pie, even if it comes from McDonald's. Do something nice for somebody. You know, the scripture simply says, giving it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give it to your bosom? To give out love. I promise you that love will return to you. On behalf of Open Mic for the Bishop, I'm Bishop Ernest D. Richard Jr. saying, have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you later. Kimmy and Kim.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Happy
Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving.
All right, my dear.
You've been listening to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. If this podcast has been a blessing to you, then please consider sowing into this ministry. A $20 gift or more would be appreciated. You can do so through Cash App. Just use $PowerToStand or on PayPal, Pritchard719@gmail.com. On behalf of Bishop Richard and the Open Mic panel, I'm Nina Taylor saying have a blessed week. We'll see you soon.